Mate, thanks so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man.
Hey, straight off the bat, I mean, I'm going to get a bit gushy about this one because I listened to the album last night and I'm just so happy with it. I'm so blown away. It's so great.
Oh, thank you.
And it's been 4 years since Gore. This, to me, and it's, music's such a personal thing, but this one, to me, is just streets ahead as far as I'm concerned because, I don't know, I don't know why. Is it because Terry Date was back on board? Did he push you to get more out of yourselves on this album? Or what do you think the difference has been between the two?
I think the Gore record was sort of a learning experience for us a little bit. I think at that time we sort of had it in our heads that, oh, we're just going to, you know, we'll make this kind of record, kind of do it ourselves, DIY kind of style. We've been working with Terry for our first, I think, four records. And then Nick Raskulinics, who did the two after that. And then we were kind of like, well, you know, let's just try to kind of like do it kind of ourselves. And taking that on was, I think, a bigger thing than you realize. So like, you know, midway through, we're like, man, this is like, you miss having someone there that kind of whips you into shape, you know what I mean? And gets you like kind of focused. So it's the record just, I don't think it's a bad record, but I think, I think we could have used a little bit what's a good word to choose? We could have just focused a little bit better. And honestly, everybody wasn't, I guess, maybe firing on all cylinders at the same time, one person was always sort of just like, it could be any of us, whatever, but it was like, we were finding it harder to like, just kind of to really get buckled down. And before we knew it, like we had enough songs to record. So we recorded them. We sort of, I want to say rushed it out, but we, maybe we could have like wrote more songs or whatever. But I remember at the time I was just like, we just need to get a record out. And, I was living in a hotel in Los Angeles and away from home. And I just wanted to go back home. So it was kind of like, there's a lot of little facets that kind of went to it, but I think more than anything was, the good thing is it was a learning experience. And I think, our main goal, I think, for this one, going into making this record was to get everybody on the same page and really just get everybody engaged and but also enjoy it. And having Terry there was, very beneficial for that. I mean, he knows us pretty much inside out. He's almost like a six band member at this point. It's funny. He was just at my house earlier today. He lives in Seattle and I live in Portland. So it's a few hour drive, but he was driving back from the coast. So he just stopped by my house today. It was awesome. To see him.
Just speaking of Portland, I didn't know you were living there at the moment. I was due to go there in July this year to catch your show with Poppy and Gojira because it was the day after Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium and In Flames. And so I would have had 2 days. I've got a lot of friends who live in Portland, so it was like a double-edged sword. I get to go and see 2 days of just mind-blowing music and hang out with my mates who live over there. And unfortunately, this has all gone down. So how has the band felt about the current situation and releasing an album in this climate?
It's a trip, man. It's definitely, not normal, usually at this time we'd be out there playing. Obviously getting ready to play some of the new, the new music. We were all set to kind of like, kind of on, everything was on schedule and we were ready to go. I think it was we were supposed to head down there, actually. I think it might have even been the night before we were going to get on our flights and everything. And, everything slowly but surely started shutting down. So just like kind of that feeling of uncertainty, I guess, I think in the beginning it was like, oh, this is maybe might be for a month or so, tops, and then, we'll resume with whatever. And then another month goes by. And now at this point, it's been 6 months since I was with the guys, over 6 months since we were rehearsing for the download, thing. So, it's kind of weird, usually we're on tour, we go to make a record, we go on tour and make a record. Yeah. This is probably the longest time that, the band is not sort of like, we haven't even seen each other. We all live in different cities. So it's definitely, it's a trip.
Now, Genesis is such a huge opening track and makes a hell of a statement as well. What was the... I know you said the mindset was everyone being on the same page going into this album, but was there any... What were the discussions like around going into this album song-wise? Did you all just come together with your little bits and pieces? Or
I mean, pretty much. There's a couple songs that were kind of demoed out by either Steph or Sergio or myself. For the most part, it was all kind of just like, created in the moment. I mean, we never actually, I don't think we ever have sat down and kind of discussed what type of record we're going to make. To me, that would seem a little weird, because I feel like once you make that decision, then you kind of box yourself into sticking with that decision or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's like, so we kind of get in and just start reacting to each other. Somebody will play something, someone else will join in, and, next thing you know, sometimes we'll lift our heads up and we'll have a new song, and when it happens like that organically, it's pretty rad, especially for the fact that we've been, we've been doing this for since we were teenagers,
Yeah. I was writing notes, as I always do when I listen to an album, and I reckon I've written probably one of the wankiest things I've ever written about a song here. The Spell of Mathematics rises and falls like the tide, but the high swells are super huge and the ebbs between sets are mellow and comforting. It is just one of my favorite songs on the album.
That's poetic in itself. it's mine too. I want to say that song was actually the last song written, and it was actually written in the studio, like right towards the end of the recording process. And I love when things like that happen. It just started off from while we were waiting to like record something else. The mics were turned on in the room, and Sergio and Abe were just playing like sort of these bits together, like back and forth, and then I told her, I asked our engineer, I was like, just record him. And then like a day or two later, like I pulled it up. I was like, you guys remember playing this, whatever. So they literally started working it out and adding more parts, added a chorus, and then from the snaps at the end of the song, when it's we were in the room and like trying to like work out the parts, and I just started snapping. And I was like, yo, let's get everybody else in here. So like everybody came in, and we just like, we had a big circle of like people just that worked the studio, everybody just like in there snapping their fingers. And it kind of ends with that, the song kind of just dissipates into those snaps, and it never goes back to the chorus. So I really like the format of that song, because it's a little different, It's special for that reason.
And the thing about the snaps as well is you haven't tried to mute any of the background echo or reverb in the room. It's a very roomy, warm, that's what I mean, like it's really comforting. It feels like you're all just together. It's just such a really great tune. And there are so many highlights for me on this one. The Link Is Dead is, it will be enormous live. Like, that's just... Christ on a bike, that thing is huge.
There's a lot of guitars going on in that song. And it's sort of like relentless, just like it starts and it doesn't, like, I think there's one like little like maybe 10 second keyboard break in the middle of the song, but other than that, it's just like it starts and then it just like builds and builds, it's relentless in that way. And probably the most aggressive, I think, maybe vocally, like one of the more aggressive tunes that I've done in maybe a couple albums, even, I'd say.
Well, that passage through to Radiant City into Headless as well, it's Radiant City particularly, that's got a different vibe to it as well, like The Spell of Mathematics, which I really enjoyed, especially, it almost feels like two songs in one.
Oh, right on. I love when things like, they sound like they shouldn't go together and then they do, kind of those happy accident things. Those are like some of my favorite like things that happen, like, in the writing process or in the studios. Like, so those moments are always kind of special. I always have little, warm places for those moments when they happen.
Yeah. I was really gushing about it last night listening to it and just getting so involved in it. And do you have those moments in the studio where you kind of look at each other and go, we're onto something here? Like, is that a palpable thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Sometimes it's not even, said. It's just the look. You can see the look of excitement on everybody's faces. And, and then we'll just like, especially when people start chiming in, that I know that, oh, they, you know, like if someone, if we're working on something and I won't even say like a disagreement, but more like, you know, someone will say like, oh, we should do this. No, well, maybe we should do this. We should, you know, and I don't look at that as like, oh, we're having a disagreement. I look at it more like, look, everybody's so like hyped up on it right now that everybody like is eager to like take it and, you know, and see how far we can take it. So those moments like are pretty rad. I like that. The fact that there's still that level of excitement that, or we can still, you know, work ourselves up to that level of excitement, you know, after all these years.
Was there a particular song on this album that happened with that you remember clearly?
Probably a few. I mean, I would say for sure Genesis. When we started playing it, like all together, like it just sounded massive. Like in our little rehearsal spot that we wrote it in, and it was just like, it just sounded big. You know what I mean? Like right off the bat. And those moments are great. And it's one of those things too, where like the song sort of like writes itself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and pretty fast. Like that it's not like the craziest, you know, song in any way, like as far as technical, every part of the song just like unfolded into the next part, like really organically. And those are also the moments that, you know, like that are awesome. You can't, like, you know, you had to be that time in that moment, you know, you just kind of capture lightning in a bottle, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Were there any of the songs on there that you had to kind of fight against to get the result you wanted, but you're glad that you did? Or did you just sort of go, this is not working right now, maybe we can save this for another album?
There's a song that didn't make it on the record. It's the other another one that we wrote in the studio. Musically I liked it, like when we were writing it, and then I got to record the vocals on it, and like straight up, like just like you said, like I was like I'd record an idea, I'd say okay, I like this, kind of let me write some words to it, I'd write lyrics to it, then I'd go in there and I'd sing the lyrics, and then I would just like come out of the booth and just go like, man, like I don't know, let's just try this another day, you know, like whatever. And then, you know, a week later, put it back up, same thing. So I'm just like, you know, maybe sometimes you just have to step away, you know what I mean? And move on to something else. And it never came back to a point where like I was ever really happy with it, you know? And that happens sometimes.
Do you hang on to those ideas, or do you just get rid of them because they're just not going to work?
Yeah, they will, you know, I'd rather not even like try to put it out as a B-side or anything like that, because it's, you know, that to me, that's exactly what it would be. It would be just like a song that wasn't good enough to be amongst these other ones, you know? And I think it was, you know, and I didn't like, I don't like to make those decisions, you know, for everybody, cause everybody put their hard work into it, whatever. But so I don't, you know, I hate to say like, oh, well, I don't like this guy, so we're not going to use it. But it's more a thing where like, you know, I think it's a more collective, you know, vibe where everybody's like, yeah, you know what, this one just didn't, this one, you know, had potential, but it just didn't reach up, you know, level up to the other, you know, to his brothers and sisters. So, yeah. So you just kind of stash it. And, you know, maybe one day when we're sitting around, like, you know, on the tour bus years and years down the road, like, remember this song, you know, pull it up, whatever. Let's do it. But I don't think it'd be anything that we've probably released.
Now, I was really impressed with the fact that this album doesn't tail off, and the closing song, Ohms, the title track, makes sure of that. Like, it is a strong album from start to finish. And I talk about sequencing with a lot of people. How long does that process take for you to make sure that the album is going to flow correctly?
I work really hard on that, like every record. And some, you know, some are easier than others, but I do like to think of it. I mean, I think the sequence is very important, and I like to think of this as an album of songs. I mean, a cohesive piece of work. So to have, you know, not even just the order of the songs, but sometimes the transitions, like I basically put all, after all, I get all the masters, I put them into, like, you know, in some, any recording software or whatever. And then I'll like basically overlap the songs, and I'll basically have the sort of be like almost like a, you know, a seamless kind of, batch of songs. And then I send it to the mastering company, and then they do it like professionally. I'm really, really interested in that. That's one of the funnest parts, I think, of, you know, putting the record together.
And do you then take the time, once it's all done, do you lock yourself away? Do you sit in the car and listen to the album from start to finish? What is your process through that part?
Yeah, I mean, and it's mostly because I'm still like, after I'm done with the recording part, like I still have to like be present for the, for the mixing and the mastering and all this stuff, whatever. And like I said, the sequencing and all that stuff. So I'm constantly like listening to it. Yes, I'll always, you know, the car test is always great.
Yeah.
So I always listen to it in the car. I have like, you know, a few different pairs of headphones and earbuds that I just like, you know, reference stuff off of. So I listen to it a lot, you know, at that stage. And then what usually happens is I'll take a break from it for a minute. So like, I actually have not listened to, other than like, you know, watching the clips for the videos and stuff to approving things, I haven't listened to the record since, I think maybe, maybe like a month now or more. And my idea is that, you know, when it comes out with everybody else, I'll listen to it, you know, with hopefully, you know, fresher ears.
Yeah,
because I've taken that little, you know, break from it for a minute.
Well, mate, it is just really a fantastic album. I can't stop raving about this. I did get a lot of people on Twitter when I said I was listening to it, and a lot of fans reached out and I asked if anyone wanted to ask a question. And one particular person, they said, "No, but thank you, honestly. Just tell Chino that I and so many others truly appreciate and adore the beauty of the music they create. Knowing new Deftones was coming this year helped give me strength to persevere and guide my family through this wild year."
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Things like that, like, they mean a lot, you know? Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff is, like, it's so special, you know what I mean, to know that. I mean, because I feel like a lot of us, you know, like, in these times is wild, man. And it's like sometimes, you know, the music can sort of like dissipate some of those feelings just for a minute. You know what I mean? And I think that's worth it for sure.
Man, thank you so much for the time again. It is always nice to speak to you. And look, let's hope the world gets sorted out sooner rather than later so we can see you back on the road.
Sweet, man. I hope so. Thank you so much.